You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Panel News Insider for Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018. And this is episode number 355. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. Yeah, I'm back. I took another week off. I don't know. Sometimes you need a little time. Picked a wonderful, interesting, odd week to come back because, well, it was April Fool's over the weekend, also Easter. So kind of a mixture of fun and disappointment all wrapped up into one. At least it didn't snow. I think that always makes searching for eggs here in Ohio a lot more fun, especially when you don't color them and you just throw them in the snow. Anyway, yes, we're going to be talking about April Fools Us All. We'll also talk about the multiple pilots that reported a UFO over Arizona. That's a hot story right now. We're going to cover the MUFON sighting statistics for March, and ghost hunters cause a bomb scare. That was a fun story. And we'll also talk some telepathy. Might be coming sooner than you think. And this week's news is brought to you by Thomas Francis University. Thomas Francis University is a metaphysics school that offers online spiritually based bachelor's, master's, and PhD doctoral metaphysical degrees, as well as single standalone courses in related metaphysical and esoteric topics. Instructors are easily accessible and offer world-class customer service and instruction. TFU and other ICMH schools have hundreds of students and graduates in more than 50 countries worldwide. For more information on Thomas Francis University, please visit tfuniversity.org. Yes, and it's spring, officially and unofficially. Usually Easter is the kind of unofficial kickoff to spring. So in great fashion today, Tuesday, we had a nice line of thunderstorms roll through the area a little while ago, and maybe some more coming on the way, but probably after 9 o'clock my local time here tonight. So we should be able to squeeze the show in, and hopefully I won't get struck by lightning. That's what I'm waiting for. Being strapped to a nice metallic microphone hanging in front of my face, you always wonder what might happen. But I don't know, maybe I'll get superpowers. Who knows? Speaking of superpowers, I have no idea how that would segue into talking about an events listing other than an event I'm going to be speaking at in October. Excited about this one. But April 16th, I will be at the Pickaway County District Public Library. Yeah, where's that at? Well, it's Circleville, Ohio. Just think of Circleville, Ohio. And if you don't know where that is, if you look up Circleville, Ohio, probably you'll see a picture of a giant water tower painted like a pumpkin. That's kind of what they're known for down there in that area. Looking forward to headed down to, well, it's not really southern Ohio. I guess it's kind of mid-south, southwest Ohio, somewhere down there. Pickaway County District Public Library, April 16th, going to be talking about ghosts, I think. Ghosts. That's not good. I got to finalize my presentation yet, but yeah, I'll be talking about ghosts and some of the interesting things here in Ohio. Now, I mentioned a really cool event coming up. This one is really unconventional. That's actually what it's called. Unconventional. It's the UnCon 12, and it takes place in Piqua, Ohio, which is out near Dayton, Ohio, which is, again, kind of mid-central. It's west of Columbus, so Columbus is not really central Ohio. It's kind of south-central Ohio, and Dayton is there. If you're looking at the map, it's to the left. It's west of Columbus. Looking forward to this event. Unconventional. UnCon 12 takes place October 5th and 6th. 2018, going to be presenting, talking about cryptozoology. And what is this UnCon thing? Well, it's unconventional. And when I got the email about this, I always look these things up. I always want to make sure whether it's a show or it's a convention, radio show, or convention, or anything. I want to make sure that I'm going to be a good fit for that event, as well as that event is going to be a good fit for me as well. Is this going to affect my fan base or anything? Not that I have a fan base, but people that are going to get what I'm talking about. And I looked this thing up before I responded, and it's like, wow, this is pretty cool. I think I've heard of this, obviously, because I do the events listing. I think somebody sent this to me once, or I came across it. But I don't normally list Comic-Con type things, which is what I thought this was. But this is so much more. And it will satisfy the inner geek in anybody, which I'm a huge geek, but that's beside the point. Yeah, this thing's been going on for 12 years, and every year they have a theme. And they've had superheroes and villains. They've had anime. They've had Area 51. They've had Atlantis, steampunk. They even had a MASH 4077. And if you don't know what that is, you're probably too young to really know good television. Doctor Who. And they also had a tribute to the history of sci-fi. All sorts of cool things. I missed last. Wish could have gone last year. They had S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents Training School last year. I would have loved that. But this year's theme is Freak Show. Or Alien Freak Show. One of the two. It says Freak Show here, but I read Alien Freak Show as well. So I'm going to fit right in with the Freak Show. Perfect thing for me. But I will be talking about cryptozoology with an Ohio edge. A lot of the weird creatures that we see, not just here in Ohio, but all over the place. And should be a huge interest in that due to the content, the types of things that people are coming to. It's a family type of event. They don't normally really push this out there, but they do pretty good with it. And they have Bill Blair is a guest, a celebrity guest of honor. He's been there off and on over the whole dozen years. He's a local actor. He's actually from Kent, Ohio, which is where I'm sitting, is probably a 20-minute drive, maybe. And Bill Blair has been actually set the Guinness World Record for most special effect makeup characters portrayed in a career. And he's played in, pretty much almost every single Star Trek TV show that's been out since the original. Voyager, Enterprise, another one. I don't know, not a huge fan of Star Trek stuff, but it's pretty cool. He's also been on The X-Files, Drew Carey, tons of other shows, but you wouldn't recognize him more than likely because he's usually in makeup or he's one of those characters that's not front and center. But cool to have somebody like that at an event, something unconventional. And don't have a complete list of guests. They're still putting this thing together, but I've already been accepted to speak down there. So I'm really excited about that, and you will hear a lot more about that coming up. And in my neck of the woods, also a huge event coming up this weekend in Toledo, Ohio, the Midwest Parafest. That's being put on by Airy Shore Paranormal. You're going to have Chip Coffee there and Greg and Dana Newkirk. And Dr. Jeff Meldrum will also be in attendance. And a friend of mine, the state director for Ohio MUFON, Thomas Wertman, will also be presenting there. So it's a pretty big deal. A lot of very good and unique people in a variety of fields will be gathered in Toledo, Ohio at the Midwest Parafest. And again, that is this weekend. I think that's this weekend, right? The 7th? It's got to be Saturday. So you can check out that and a lot of other events coming up if you go to paranewsinsider.com and you can click on the events tab at the top up there. It's right next to the home thing. Just click on events and poof, you'll see a list. And I'm selfish. I like to, you know, self-promote my stuff and anything that I'm going to be a part of, which my Twinsburg Paranormal Conference, which is over. You missed it if you didn't get to go. I kind of highlight the stuff that I'm involved in. I put my own events in there as well. And it's funny when people copy, because people copy this stuff. They copy my appearances and stuff that are put in there as well. So it's kind of funny that they don't realize that our personal stuff's in there, but they copy it nonetheless, which is cool. Free advertising for me. Do have some updates I got to make. I'm looking here, and there's a couple that I know that are going on that I don't have. I just updated this a few days ago, and yeah, stuff is dropping like crazy right now. So if you see something that is not on that list, feel free to let me know, and you can email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com or go to paranewsinsider.com. You can click on the about/contact link there at the top, and you can get a hold of me pretty quickly. You can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, my socials, as usual. So lots of events coming up this year all over the place, all of the United States. I just cover the North America stuff and ghosts and UFOs as well as cryptozoology. And my goodness, Ohio has a lot of cryptid stuff here, but yeah. So anyway, you came for the news, right? Kind of getting a little off topic here, but definitely check out that list of events. Going to these events is a lot of fun. Some people kind of don't like those. I don't know why they're critiquing these things, but no two are ever the same. It depends on who's going to be there. I'm really not a fan when you go to these. There's all the people that are from TV there, because people kind of, they tend to believe too much. And, you know, TV schedules keep people running around. You don't really have a whole lot of time to do a lot of different things. And these people don't know everything. Just because they're on TV doesn't mean they know everything. And I like talking to the people that are in the trenches, but just sharing information and getting out there and, you know, just learning from other people. See what else is going on. I thought there was another event. Well, that's April 13th and 14th. SalemCon 4, just kind of what I was talking about. You got Nick Groff, Grant Wilson, John Zaps, Dave Giuliano, Rosalind Bowne, who's a friend of mine. I consider her a friend. She's one of those TV people that I met. I actually met her at a Bigfoot event. We actually hit it off. She's really down to earth and really cool. So I'm not bashing the people. It's basically the content or how people perceive people on television. You know, you see them on TV, you automatically think expert because, hey, they're on TV. They made it. But that doesn't translate. Great people. Hung out with quite a few of these TV celebs, and they're completely different when they're not around their throngs of fans or they're on TV. But, no, they're just humans. They're just people. But definitely check out this list. And that's it, I swear. We're going to talk this weekend. Yeah, well, I hope you had a wonderful Easter over the weekend. And yeah, it was weird because it was also April Fool's Day, all at the same time. I don't know how many parents tricked their kids. That's awful mean. I'm sure there was some weird scenarios that happened with that. But, and as many of you know, the internet is full of pranks and especially misleading information on April 1st. And it's highly unusual, since it's the only day of the year, it seems like, when people are actually critical of what they're reading on the internet or even in newspapers. Do people still read newspapers? Probably not. I wish people were more critical of all the stuff all the time. I'm not saying not to believe things, just to be a little more critical. Now, I got in with fun. I put up an article about a live BBC report about a purported Kraken or Kraken, however you like. I like Kraken. But a lot of people say Kraken. I don't know. It just sounds like you're breaking bones when you say Kraken. But anyway, this Kraken that was seen in the River Thames in England obviously wasn't real, despite video of a blow-up creature So what it looked like to me, hanging on the pleasure cruiser called the Golden Star. It was just a prank by Kraken Black Spiced Rum. And yes, they pronounced their name Kraken. Seen the commercials. Now, many other companies use this time to gain attention, even if it's for kind of disgusting or gross products or stuff that's really not going to be worth anything. Although I was reading articles where past April Fool's jokes actually had so many people complimenting the idea that they ended up making this stuff. But other stuff I don't think we're going to see, hopefully anyway, like Burger King's chocolate Whopper. I don't think that would go over very well with its raspberry syrup and vanilla frosting. Or how about the mayonnaise made with Belgian chocolate from Heinz? True story. Can't make that stuff up. Got a picture to prove it here. Gross. Really gross stuff. I mean, really. I don't think I would eat that. I don't think I'd eat that. Nor the Whopper. That's, to me, is a little disturbing, I guess. Yeah, Whopper with cheese and chocolate. I don't think so. Not going to happen. So, yeah, there's your chocolate mayonnaise. And I'm actually posting in the chat room. So if you're not listening live in the chat room, you're missing out on some extra photographs as well as some extra links that I throw in there and hopefully don't land on top of anybody. But that's your little bonus for actually getting into the chat room. And if you're listening live and you don't feel like chatting, you can hang out in there. We won't hurt you, but you'll miss all that extra stuff. And there's the Kraken. Spotted on the River Thames there, on the breaking news. And you can see the little thing clinging on. It was a cute little news report. It wasn't overly serious. They didn't push it. They weren't over the top. They weren't overly dramatic. I think they did a really good job. It was very classy. Sometimes they take this stuff a little too far, and they try to fool people. But this was just obviously tongue-in-cheek. And with the photograph, they weren't playing around with it to make it look like it was maybe potentially real. They did talk about it being on Facebook and social media, but it wasn't a panic or anything. So hats off to the BBC for the way they handled that. Coca-Cola also used the time to announce new flavors. Sourdough and charcoal. Yeah, charcoal. I had to read that like three times. Like, are they serious? Charcoal-flavored Coca-Cola? And the big one, the third flavor, avocado. Not sure about that. SodaStream. You know, SodaStream, you can carbonate your own stuff at home, make your own sodas. Well, they announced a new product called Soda Soak, a bathtub version of their carbonated water machine, complete with scented bath oils. I don't know. The machine, regular SodaStream is pretty expensive, so I'm not sure. It sounds interesting, but I think I'll pass on that. Lexus, you know, the car company, they introduced, I thought this was neat, a new genetic select option that allows one to not find the car of their dreams, but the car of their genes. Well, I thought it was funny. The car of your genes, you get a genetic selection machine. So it basically matches you up genetically with a car. Okay, we've gone on way too long already. Lego. This was clever. They announced a new brick sorting vacuum that sorts bricks by color and type and even actually separates dirt. I thought that one was really cool. I know a couple friends that would really enjoy that one if it were real. Who knows? Maybe they'll pressure them to come out with that. I thought it was rather unique myself. I'm going to throw that picture in the chat room as well. Maybe it'll load. And maybe it won't. There it is. VacuSort by Lego, the revolutionary brick sorting vacuum, coming in 2018. It's not real, folks. It's not real. Oh, boy. Well, who else? Google. Google got into the fun with a very addictive Where's Waldo game. I played this until I beat it. I was very addicted to this. It's a lot of fun. You can just find it if you go to your Google page, and you should find it. You can also ask your phone. I don't want to say it because my phone will light up, but you can ask Google Where's Waldo? This should pop up. You got an iPhone? Well, I don't know. I guess you're out of luck. You can ask Siri. Maybe she might know. I don't know. She's usually distracted. Virgin Australia announced new in-flight spin classes, which were actually hyped on social media by Richard Branson. He was on Twitter talking about this, saying that he's looking forward to trying this out. Well, Branson, Richard Branson, the basically created Virgin, runs the company. He's always been a huge prankster for April Fools. In 2015, Branson announced that a long-lost relative actually founded Branson, Missouri, and that he planned to relocate his entire company there. I guess you had to be there. In 2013, Virgin announced glass-bottomed planes. That I would highly enjoy. That sounds like fun. I'm just that kind of person. In 2012, Virgin announced vehicles that could safely travel and explore the insides of volcanoes. True story. In 2011, Richard Branson claimed to have bought Pluto in order to restore it to the status of a regular planet. Interesting. I'd like to see the paperwork on that. In 2004, the company announced that it had designed a phone for left-handed people. I might like that. But the biggest April Fool's Day prank of all time, actually done by Richard Branson, and it took place back in 1989, where he planned on invading London in a hot air balloon disguised as a UFO. However, the weather forced him to land early, so he took off the evening of March 31st and unfortunately never made it to April 1st. He landed early, and the incident had already created a little bit of panic. And the police were afraid to approach the craft after it landed. A door had opened, and there was smoke billowing out of it from dry ice. And somebody dressed in an alien costume stepped out and scared police. Well, Branson and his accomplice on board were nearly arrested, but the joke was all in fun. That was a cool deal. And I got some links to that. I don't know if you guys are interested in the links. It's all just silly stuff, silly information. Boom, boom. There's one linkage, and we'll do the Richard Branson Virgin.com thing. It's pretty cool that he has actually on the Virgin website, Virgin.com/Richard Branson/UFO sighting. Oop, I think I hit Dito with that. Sorry about that. Trying to do some soft toss of the links in the chat room so I don't injure anybody. And we're going to talk UFOs. We're going to go out west and talk about one of the most interesting UFO stories this year. Yeah, we're only in the fourth month, so we got a long way to go. And this surrounds the air traffic control communication audio, which I'm sure you've all heard by now, of the Albuquerque Center back on February 24th of this year. And the incident took place over the skies of Arizona near the New Mexico border. A jet called into Albuquerque Center to ask if someone had been above them about 30 seconds earlier. This was a Learjet calling in. The air traffic controller responded with negative, meaning that no radar target had appeared and nobody with a transponder or any type of craft was supposed to be in that area. Now, a response of a UFO was heard among with some chuckling about the incident, and that was it. It seemed like it was over. Well, a few minutes later, the air traffic controller contacted American Airlines Flight 1095 to ask them to keep an eye out for something above them, stating that a prior flight had seen something also above them. The American Airlines flight was en route from San Diego to Dallas, Texas, and did report seeing something about 2,000 to 3,000 feet above them just a minute or so later. They sounded a little nervous about that when they were first asked, and then the ATC went about his job, and then, yeah, all of a sudden they responded and said, wow, we did see something. They stated they were not sure if it was a balloon or not, and the object seemed to be moving the other direction. We heard this a couple of times during that communication, but it's really hard for a pilot, even though they're flying all the time, to determine a stationary object versus an object sometimes going in the opposite direction. Obviously, a jet flying at you at 300 miles an hour, and you're going 300 miles an hour, you're going to pass each other at 600 miles an hour. So it's pretty easy to tell a jet coming at you at the direction. But a stationary object, again, going by you at 300 miles an hour, regardless if it's moving or not, depending upon how fast the jet's flying. Sometimes they fly faster, sometimes slower. I don't remember the make of this airplane, so I can't really answer that one, but I could look it up. Anyway, American Airlines has now shifted any questions about this incident to the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, and so far there are no answers to what these two pilots saw, and the FAA is doubtful that it was actually a weather balloon or even military aircraft. And I think that's why this story is really hanging around. It's gaining traction. It's a lot of people are talking about this, not just in the paranormal circles, but it's also out there in the mainstream media. It's being covered all over the world, United Kingdom, Australia, a lot of big news outlets in the United States, the Washington Post, CNN, and again, a lot of large and worldwide news agencies. They're making this a pretty big deal. Obviously, the UFO people are making it a big deal, and usually they have to take videos of light reflections or whatever to push out to the world claiming that these are UFOs. Now you have real people and real jets in a real situation. It's kind of taking care of itself here. It's a big mystery, but I think the FAA has kind of sidestepped this, and they're not really giving any information out. And if this was some sort of military aircraft or some testing of something, that I'm probably not going to talk about that, because obviously that's could cause a major problem in that area. And if it was a weather balloon or if it was something that wasn't supposed to be there, obviously someone's going to get in trouble. So probably no one's really going to say anything about it. But it's awful interesting that a corridor like this, that's obviously fairly heavily traveled, would have some sort of a foreign object in the way. Who knows? Who knows what it was? It could have been another country's reconnaissance aircraft, for all we know. We have no idea. And again, if that was the case, the FAA is obviously not going to be talking about that, because that would be a even bigger deal than claiming a UFO was seen over the area, because a lot of people aren't going to believe in that anyway. They're just going to laugh it off and say, well, these pilots probably should be drug tested. But then you throw in something like that, an object that's not supposed to be there, or something from maybe a foreign country, and all of a sudden this is a bigger deal. So I think that's why we're not really, I don't know, we probably will never, unfortunately, never hear what really happened or what really took place over the skies of Arizona. But it's, again, I think it's the biggest UFO story this year so far. But it's really frustrating when you don't have any information or any evidence. You know, there's no radar data. There's no, you know, two different pilots seen this. One, obviously, an American Airlines pilot. I don't know if there was more people on that aircraft that saw this thing or not, or I never saw really too much of a description about it. The one pilot said that did not think that it was a balloon. So I don't know. That kind of deepens the mystery. If they would have said, well, it kind of looked like a balloon, you know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, well, it's more than likely probably a duck. So I don't know. The mystery is there. The mystery is deep. But I don't have the answers, so I really, I don't know. It's another one of those stories that we're going to have to keep an eye on and continue to monitor going forward. I got a little list. I keep a list of stories like this, and I go through them every now and again and kind of look through them to see if anything has progressed, and that's what I do. I like to give you guys the answers, not just tell you the stories, give you the headlines, and talk about what's in the news. You can go pretty much any radio show that's on the paranormal does this. They all talk about what's going on. They all talk about the headlines, and they sit there and they talk back and forth, and they just kind of disseminate it and say, well, I think this. Well, I think that. Well, I think you're wrong. Well, I think you're wrong. And that's all you really hear. And you don't really get any kind of inside information about anything. They're clicking the link. You could click the link, and you could read the story, and you're going to think the same thing. Right? But I'm going beyond that. I'm looking at these stories. I'm digging through the information. I'm looking up links. I'm trying to get to the bottom of these stories for you, the listener. Well, really for me too, because I like to have the answers and I like to know what's going on. And that's the premise of the show. It's not to be skeptical. It's not to doubt everything. It's not to be critical of the paranormal or criticize everything, although there is a lot of that going on, but it's necessary. All right, we're our own worst enemy in the paranormal. When we do stupid things, when we put up fake videos, when we lie to each other about sightings and data and information and evidence, in air quotes, we've got to stop this stuff. We've got to police our field. And that's one of the little things that I do during this show. And in case you didn't know, you're tuned into WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com, and you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. I almost lost my breath there. That was scary. Anyway, we're going to stick with UFOs, and we're going to go to MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, which just recently released the sighting statistics for the month of March of 2018, because we're in April, right? All those sightings are all taken care of. They're all documented from last month, and they are. Now, looking back historically, March of 2017, there were 478 total worldwide sightings, with 328 documented in the United States. Now, this was one of the lowest recorded months in recent history, coming off the historical 2015 year, where 1,400 sightings were reported in the month of June that year, which from my information that I've gathered, that's the most sightings in a month in the history of MUFON. I don't know. I could be wrong, but that's what I was told. Now, the numbers for February of this year were 548 total sightings, with 362 occurring in the United States. Well, I predicted a bit of a bump with those numbers with my personal estimate. I do that every month. I kind of take a guess. Sometimes I'm close. Sometimes I'm really close. But a lot of times I'm kind of not even close. But my personal estimate of 579 worldwide and 398 U.S. sightings. Well, like I said, I bumped from the previous month. But I guess my bump wasn't enough, because MUFON turned in 640 total worldwide sightings, with 446 occurring in the United States. So that's a lot. It's a big difference. 579 was what I guessed, and 640 was the reality. I guess 398 for U.S. sightings and 446 is what MUFON put in. So yeah, I was a little kind of undershot that, but you know, I'd rather have it be that way than say that I, you know, it was the other way around, that I predicted a lot and they had hardly anything. It's still pretty low when you consider 1,400 a couple of years ago for the June, but that was when Hangar 1 was going fairly heavy on television. So yeah, that tends to take away when you're not featured on a television program every week. Now, going back to the 640 sightings reports, again, 446 were from the United States. Canada was second on the list with 66 reports. What a drop-off, right? 446 to 66. The United Kingdom had 42. France had 11. Australia had 9. Mexico had 7. Brazil and Spain turned in 6 reports each. So as you can see, there's a huge drop-off after United States, even after Canada to the UK, and then all the way down to 11 for France. So a lot of these countries, they have their own individual reporting centers. And obviously, MUFON is based here in the United States, so they're not really getting all that attention from these other countries. Although, you know, you look at pretty much anywhere, Mexico, and then even South America, there's tons of areas there that are really heavily in belief with UFOs. But again, they have their own sources. Their actual nightly news talks about UFO reports. So kind of a different culture and a different thing down there. So it's really hard to be a U.S.-based research organization and get everybody in from all these other countries to help report that. And I don't know, part of the time I kind of wish that MUFON would just focus on the U.S. and not worry about these other countries and just kind of focus their attention on becoming better here in the States. They got a nice foundation, but I think there's some work that could be done, not getting too political about it. So beyond these countries I just said, there's 34 other countries that turned in at least three reports, with 23 of those 34 only turning in one report. So thank you guys for your one report. And the 446 United States reports, broken down by state, with California once again taking the top spot. And I say it every time I cover this every month. California should be number one because it's number one in population. That just makes sense. If California was number three, then that would mean something is not correct. Something is kind of out of balance. So you'll kind of see a trend there where the top states are the top states of population for the U.S. So California, yes, took the number one spot with 50 sightings. Florida was second with 40. Texas had 33. Michigan turned in 26. Arizona had 24. New York had 22. Pennsylvania had 17. Washington had 15. Colorado and Indiana had 14 reports each. Georgia had 13. And North Carolina and Illinois turned in 12 reports each. Missouri had 11. Louisiana and New Jersey had 10 reports each. Tennessee, Ohio, and Virginia had 9 reports, while Wisconsin, Nevada, and Oregon had 6. And we have Iowa, Minnesota, and New Mexico turning in 5 reports each. And there were 23 other states that turned in 4 or less reports, with 5 of these turning in 1 report each. And one thing I like to do is I like to break that down per capita. Again, I mention this every month, that MUFON used to do this, but since these statistics are pretty much, and I have to be honest here, it's pretty insignificant, and it really doesn't do a whole lot of good when you break down where these numbers are coming from or why, because these reports are just reported in this month. That does not necessarily mean that these events took place in this particular month. You might have had a mass UFO sighting right in the last couple of days of March, but that maybe they didn't get reported until April. So those actually go on April's report. You might have had something that happened months ago and they just weren't ready to talk about it, or maybe years ago and just never got around to reporting it, didn't know that MUFON existed, whatever the case is, and then they reported these events. So they're not really organized by events that specifically happened in within this time frame, and that's one of the biggest faults with the MUFON reporting system. It's just not set up to reflect this kind of data that I'm giving you. So you kind of, there's this giant asterisk that I'm talking about. Essentially, I'm just giving you a warning that this information I'm going to give you isn't precise. It sounds specific, but it's really, it's just statistics, but it's not again reflective of reality. Not to mention that a lot of these reports are probably logically behind the scenes, whatever, if MUFON actually investigated these cases, a lot of them probably had logical reasons, or people just saw something and they weren't sure what it was and reported it. Might not actually be a UFO in our type of definition, other than something that you just can't identify. Some people might just be plain making stuff up. You never know. So breaking it down for March, if you look at the per capita numbers, again, the overall number for March, 446. So we take that 446 and you basically divide it by the entire U.S. population. And I do the per capita per 100,000. That's your generalized per capita number, but you're going to get percentages, basically, or I should say fractions or bits and pieces, parts of people here, not full persons. That's the proper thing to say. But so per 100,000 people, United States, with 446 reports, that would be 0.14 per 100,000 people. So like some dude's arm in his hand, not a whole person. Not, you know, I always say that way, but you know, not quite 0.14 of one person. So really, really stretched out data. I mean, I could do it per 500,000 people, maybe. Maybe I'll try that next month. I don't know. I just like, once I start doing it, I don't really want to change that. Maybe I'll do both. I don't know. But it's really insignificant statistically. But 0.14, that kind of gives us a launching point looking at, when we're looking at particular states, if they were above that, then that's a little significant. That's something to look at. Maybe they were pulling the weight for all the states. And maybe that's a state that I want to go back into MUFON and really take a look at those reports and see if there's anything significant there. Not saying that something that's low wouldn't be less significant. Again, there's a little bit, again, a misnomer with this information. It's not really pointing towards anything more conclusive than a number that's lower. It's just perception. It's just numbers. It's fun to look at. It's fun to talk about. California is the number one populous state. I already mentioned that. But if you look at their sighting number, 50, sounds like a lot. They led the U.S. 50 sightings. That's more than a lot of other countries reported. But you look at the per capita number, 0.127. So that's below the U.S. average of 0.14. 0.127, so basically 0.13 if you rounded that up. So it's a little below average. And we look at Florida. Florida is number three in population according to the 2014 statistics. They had 40 sightings and their per capita is slightly above normal, 0.194. And Arizona is the 14th most populous state according to the numbers. They had 24 reports, and their per capita number is 0.346. So that's over one out of every 300,000 people, basically, reported in the state of Arizona. Colorado is number 21 as far as population of the U.S. Their per capita number is 0.253, so one in every 400,000 people. With 14 sightings. Louisiana, number 25 in population, turned in a 0.214 with 10 sightings. Nevada, number 34 in population, 0.204 with 6 sightings. New Mexico, number 36 in population, turned in a 0.24, so that's above average with their whopping 5 reports. That's a joke. Montana, number 44 in population, turned in a 0.384. That's the highest so far, but only 4 reports. Because they're 44th in state population. New Hampshire, number 41 in state population with a 0.225. With their 3 sightings. And Hawaii, we don't normally see Hawaii here. They're number 40 in state population, a 0.14. They only had 2 reports. But that, again, 0.14, that matches the national average. So thank you, Hawaii, for your contribution. That is average. So the 2 should always happen. Well, 2 should have happened with the number that we got, I should say. Wyoming, which is dead last in population, number 50. They have more cattle than people in Wyoming. I don't know if that's true. Don't write that down. I'm not sure if that's true or not. It sounds factual, but I don't know. Wyoming, number 50 in population, at a 0.171 per capita with their whopping one sighting. So I guess we give the nod to the state of Arizona with their 0.346 and 24 sightings. Now, again, that's for March. I don't know. What do you think? Any coincidence with that back in February? I don't know. Maybe. Because, again, people, what was that, late in the month, February 24th? Was that the sighting? So, I don't know, February 24th, maybe some of these sightings reports trickled into the next month. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to dig into that for us. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, predictions before I get too far away. Getting worse with this for some reason. I don't know. Oh, well, we're going to do a little bit more of a bump here, I think. And I'm going to go with, we're going to go with 661 for, 661 for total and 471. Sure, write that in there so I remember that for next month. So, yeah, that's my prediction. That's what I'm sticking to. It's there. It's written down. I can't change it. Well, I could change it, but I'm not going to. So 661 worldwide sightings and 471. That's my prediction for the month of April for 2018. So we'll see what happens. It's kind of hit and miss for me lately, but we'll see. And some ghost news. I promised you this. This is an interesting one. I don't remember hearing a story like this ever. And I've heard a lot of ghost hunter-based stories. We've talked about tons of them here about people, groups, investigators, ghost hunters, whatever you want to call them, burning down churches, burning down buildings, trespassing, causing damage, destruction, ruining cemeteries, you name it. We've talked about it here. But they've never been a threat to blow anything up that I can remember. Maybe there's a story out there. I don't remember it. Well, now there is. Ontario's historic Mackenzie Hall was the scene where the Listowel Paranormal Society had recently conducted an investigation where they state they made it out of the 150-year-old former jail with a photograph of a ghost known as George. Great job, guys. Looks like a blur to me, but that's cool. Hanging on your fridge. But what they didn't make it out with was something else that they left behind. A really rudimentary-looking EMF detector. Never seen one like that. I've seen tons of these. I see them on the internet. I don't really buy them anymore. I've got what I've got, and that's what I've got. It looks like a black square with a little blue light on it. And a red wire coming out of it. Well, the Windsor police were called and responded to a suspicious package. Easy for me to say, suspicious package. And they had to bring in the Windsor Police Explosive Disposal Unit, the WPEDU. That sounds cool. Who used a bomb disposal robot to destroy the device. What a fun afternoon they had. Now, the Listowel Paranormal Society sounded in their interviews that they were more focused on providing entertainment through Facebook Live and YouTube than worrying about leaving any of their equipment behind. And they did apologize for the incident, stating that it wasn't intentional. But again, it sounded to me like they were more worried about putting on a show for their, quote, fans, unquote, than they were actually paying attention to what they were doing. Yeah, if you're doing an investigation and you're paying money to go to a place, pay attention to what you're doing. Don't worry about other people. I mean, yeah, I broadcast live from investigations just for a moment or done. I've done a couple of radio shows from them. That's cool. It's all well and good. But don't worry about broadcasting everything. And certainly, don't leave your equipment behind. My goodness, how could you do that? But in this case, a simple mistake causing public panic will more than likely turn this group into minor local celebrities. And if they were smart, maybe they would have labeled their equipment, at least with their name on it. So if somebody were to see that, maybe they would know, well, that's as paranormal. Maybe it's a ghost device. Oh, they could have put for entertainment use only on it. That would have been fitting. Ouch. All right, so I got a couple links for that story, and I'll toss them softly into the... There it is. Toss that softly into the chat room there, which, again, you can find that at WCJVradio.com. You can click on the Listen Live button there. Kind of hard to miss. Listen and join chat now. That's what it says. That's where it is. Oh, gosh, I hit Paul. My gosh, I hope he's okay. Hope you're all right, Paul. Sorry about that. Hope it doesn't leave a bruise. It's good information. I put the police blotter in there as well. The Windsor, Ontario, Canada, police update. Okay. So other news, talk some telepathy. I was thinking about this story. I don't know if you picked up on that or not. Probably not. Okay. I guess we're not reading my mind. Anyway, telepathy, mind-to-mind interaction, is said to be about 2 decades away. It's coming. Now, this is according to Dr. Eric Luthart of Washington University, who says that the best way for this to happen is to integrate computers into our brain so that our brain can be integrated into the internet. Now, that's my words, not his, but I'm taking his ideas and scarily putting them into your ears. Now, he did say, and this is a quote, he says, quote, "At the pace at which technology changes, it's not inconceivable to think that in a 20-year time frame, everything in a cell phone could be put into a grain of rice. That could be put into your head in a minimally invasive way and would be able to perform the computations necessary to be a really effective brain-computer interface," unquote. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. One of Dr. Luthart's research partners is Gerwin Schulp, who explains what some of the goals and limitations of this technology are when he says, quote, "What you really want is to be able to listen to the brain and talk to the brain in a way that the brain cannot distinguish from the way it communicates internally. And we can't do that right now," unquote. So that's what they're working toward, is a computer that can somehow gather information that we're thinking about without brain or us knowing what's going on, and gathering that information and putting it into a computer. I don't know what you're going to do with that for that. I mean, the problems of this, when I first kind of read the headline and the first little bits of the story, I kind of thought it was cool, and I thought it was interesting. I thought, hey, you know what? Go science. This is cool because we're talking about telepathy. Science is looking at telepathy. Granted, they're probably not going in the right direction, but sometimes when you try things like this and you have a hard time figuring it out, sometimes what they'll do with these computers is they'll stand back and kind of look at things, which is how they need to do this, looking at it more of a through a metaphysical standpoint or maybe a spiritual standpoint, and figure out if they're obviously they probably don't think there's really anything to telepathy, but how do these things maybe work? People do seem to predict things, or people do seem to gather information from other people. That's just not possible otherwise. And I'm talking beyond knowing that the phone is going to ring, because we all know who our friends are going to call us or text us at certain times. But sometimes this information goes beyond that, and it could be the base, a lot of different things, including hauntings. So who knows? Yes, Brandon Masullo, I'm talking about your work. So who knows where that could go, but we're talking about computers and we're putting grains of rice in our brains. Okay, it would be a computer chip, not a grain of rice. I don't think they're talking about true telepathy or real mind-to-mind interaction. What they're talking about is essentially a computer program that is picking off electrical signals or perhaps even chemical reactions in the brain and interpreting these reactions through programming, which is nothing close to actually understanding thoughts, ideas, or communication through consciousness. That's what they're trying to get at here is, or they should be trying to get at here, is understanding consciousness. And everything about the paranormal, when you're talking about ghosts, we're talking about telepathy or ESP or PK, psychokinesis. Again, whether it's receiving information from the environment around us in unknown ways or in the matter of psychokinesis or maybe even in telepathy, the ability to push our actions or thoughts or other information out into the environment to affect the environment somehow, some way, this is far different than computer stuff. I mean, we're talking consciousness. Understanding consciousness needs to come first before we start plugging junk into our brains and have wires come out of our eyes and ears. I don't think that's going to really help. I mean, you could say these computers could act as kind of a conduit, I guess. I guess the best way to put it would be from the brain to another person's brain. But again, is that truly telepathy? I don't think so. It's basically, if you put the pathway here, it's mind to chip to computer. So it's going from our mind. This computer chip is interpreting information. It goes to a computer, and then it goes from that computer to a chip to somebody else's, in somebody else's mind here. I guess that's kind of how I'm reading this. And it sounds extremely artificial. And it's just as a – there was a gimmicky video that was attached to this story that I read, where a company is designing technology that helps the brain and the car work together. So this guy had this funny little helmet on with all those little electrodes taped to his head and basically trying to understand what happens in the brain when we react certain ways. So we see something come out in front of us, we hit our brakes, we turn the car, what happens in our brain. So it's basically just a computer memorizing impulses. It's not really extracting information, you're just measuring and relaying that same information. It's just a computer program based on a set of circumstances. It's not truly reading consciousness. It's basically just assigned to a function in an attempt to remove the human body from the equation. I'm guessing that's what their whole deal is with this, at least with this car computer software, is to eliminate the driver. You know, we've seen this technology over the past few decades. Early warning spot detected on the mirrors, collision things where the car automatically applies the brakes with something coming in front of it. They don't trust us. They don't trust humans, I guess. You know, I don't know about you, but I mean, I don't trust a lot of people on the road, but I do trust myself. We all make mistakes. We all miss things. But I would far more trust a person who has several years of training of driving. Or, you know, kids, I don't know about you kids. I don't know. But a computer, I mean, again, just evolving with a set of circumstances. And something happens, which is usually when an accident happens, something comes out. I hit a deer two years ago. There's no way a computer would have been able to stop. Nothing could have stopped this. Unless I had a guy sitting on top of my car with a shotgun. Even that, I don't know. I'm not sure. Things happen. You can't fix that. GPS devices running cars driving all over the place. That's just scary. I don't like it. Maybe call me old fashioned, but I don't like that. It just kind of scares me, I guess. I don't think this is a step that humanity needs to make at this point, even in 20 years. I think that's too soon to start messing around with people's brains, putting computer chips in our brains. And I think the big thing here is one of the first things I thought of is, why don't we talk about computer viruses? I mean, what if something goes wrong with this? Does that make us crazy? And on the flip side of that, what's to stop people from hacking into that software, getting our thoughts, getting our ideas? If so, this is really going to be that way. If what they're saying, it's going to be able to read our thoughts and our imaginations or anything else. I mean, what's private anymore? And how deep does that go? And what's to keep law enforcement or the government from using that technology against us? I mean, it sounds like an awful lot like the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise, where murders and crimes were predicted before they happened. I mean, we're not going that far yet, but it could lead to that, or it could lead to us having to plug in our brains to serve as witnesses down the road. You know, what did you see? Well, tell us what you saw, and then you get a court order to have to plug in your mind into a computer, and you know, they read your thoughts. Maybe they're not going to replay what you saw, but that's just scary. I mean, how far is this going to go? I mean, are babies going to be forced to get these things implanted at birth? I mean, these are the kind of questions I think people should be asking. It's a great idea. It sounds really cool on paper and in a blog article or whatever. And maybe they have money to burn, and this is how they're going to do their research. It's great. But what about all these ethical questions? Is really something that humanity needs? I mean, we can't even get along with each other without killing each other. Something happens beyond our control. We argue about it on social media. We can't even get along on social media, and we're talking about connecting our brains even closer. It's just crazy. I mean, let's worry about some. I think there's some larger things that we should be worrying about than putting computers the size of a grain of rice in our brains. No thanks. I'll keep doing things human-like in old school ways. I don't even have a Zumba or a Zumba. What are the Zumba? Those little robots that, no way. Especially after watching the X-Files, no way. Anyway, got that link. Better throw that in the chat room. And wow, it is 9:00. That was a fast hour. I think I rambled too much there at the beginning. I know. Self-promotion. But hey, it's my show, right? I can do that. But I'll be back. Don't worry. I'll be back next week with some interesting news, and hopefully news I can trust. You know, somebody asked me, is it harder to do the news around April Fools? And I'll tell you, I'm critical of the news no matter what. Again, not doubtful or not completely skeptical, but I'm always cautious about what's being reported. So it's an easy time of the year where you pretty much know that a lot of stuff coming out is not what it seems to be. And it's not intentional. Well, it's intentional, but not intentional to fool people. So it's kind of a nice little mental break. But yeah, we're back to the grind. April 1st is over. And I don't think there's any more April Fool's kind of stuff going on. But there will be a lot of stories that are going to attempt to trip you up as a reader, as somebody who's looking at information. And it's going to be my job to help thwart that from happening to you and provide you, again, with the inside information that I can gather the best way I know how. And that's to present it here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on WCJVradio.com. And as always, if you have any information about any paranormal conference, convention, or anything, if you'd like to hear it here, you'd like to see it on the website, again, let me know, insider at paranewsinsider.com. Go to paranewsinsider.com and click on the events tab. Check those out, as well as the contact if you have any information that you want to push my way. And again, huge thanks to Cindy, my producer, to Dita and Paul there in the chat room for corralling everything and jumping out of the way when I throw links in the chat room. And for you, the listener, you out there, I know you're listening and I appreciate it. And I will see you, well, I guess you'll hear me next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck. And as always, keep your mind slightly ajar. Don't let your brains fall out. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, This is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.